Lord God, I thank you for Dave, and I thank you for what you have given him to share with us this morning. I ask that you'd bless him and give him peace and speak through him and feed us this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Good morning. We have been talking about hearing God's voice because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." They don't listen to a stranger's voice. They run from it. But his sheep hear his voice. And that's a promise to us, isn't it? So how do we hear God's voice? We hear God's voice not with our natural ears, but we hear him with our spiritual ears. And I was beginning to study for this sermon along the lines of, you know, we have this constant babble of false voices all around us. We have this constant bombardment of the lies of the enemy. And I was beginning to study for a sermon about discerning the false voices, separating ourselves from the deception and the lies, so that we might discern what is the enemy and what is truth. And as I was going down that road and praying about today, I just felt the Lord redirect me. And the Lord began to say, no, the problem is not the enemy. The problem is not the enemy. The problem is that my people are being choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Now that might be familiar to you from last week's passage in Luke chapter 8. And you can turn there at this time. Luke chapter 8. The problem is not so much that there's so many false voices that we need to discern the truth from, but actually God is challenging us with how we are choked out by the cares of this world. How is it that all around us, the busyness and concerns of daily life choke us out? Just turn back to Luke chapter 8. We looked at this last week for a little bit. Luke chapter 8, and we'll just pick up those words of Jesus in verse 7 and then his explanation in verse 14. Jesus is telling this parable about hearing God's voice, and he describes God's voice as seeds that get dropped on the soil of our heart. And what is it that makes God's voice, when it gets dropped on your heart, either grow or not grow? And so he's told us that some hearts are like the path, the hard path. Some are like the shallow roots that grow on rocks. Some are like those that have soil, but it's choked out by other things. And then there's the good soil that produces a crop. But notice verse 7. This is the focus for today. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And then Jesus' disciples asked him about it, and we find his answer in verse 14, a few paragraphs lower. And Jesus said, "The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature." So notice he's talking about hearing his voice. How do you hear God's voice? And he's saying, there are people who hear. They do hear my voice. They do discern that it's God speaking. But what happens? As they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. Now, both Matthew and Mark, when they tell the same story, they use a different word. Instead of mature, they say, and they don't bear fruit. Same meaning. But the seed falls, it's received, it starts to grow, but it never gets fruitful. It never produces the crop. It's not that the person has fallen away, like the first example, the one on the path where the enemy snatches it away and they just don't believe. It's not like the one on the rocks where there's so shallow roots that they wither and fall away. No, these are people who, they've got soil. They receive what God says. It even begins to grow in their life. But there's something that keeps it from maturing and bearing fruit. What is it that keeps it from maturing and bearing fruit? And Jesus says the answer is, it's the cares of this world, the cares of this life. And he describes it in three ways: life's worries, riches, and pleasures. One negative, two positives. North America to the core. This is North America right now. Lots of worries, but also lots of riches and lots of pleasures. These are the things that Jesus said don't cause people to fall away. Don't cause them to have unbelief. But it causes them to not bear fruit, to not mature. And he's talking specifically about what we hear. Hearing God, and what happens to that word in your life, does it bear fruit? So how do we hear God? I've titled today, Hearing God Among the Thorns. We live in thorns. We live in this field of weeds. We live in this field with life's worries and life's riches and life's pleasures just growing up rapidly all around us. How do you hear God when you're in a field of weeds like North America? Hearing God among the thorns. Imagine for a moment making the mistake of going to Metrotown Mall. Oh, sorry. I made that mistake on Boxing Day last year. I go to Metrotown Mall about four times a year, but I had never been there on Boxing Day. And this wonderful Canadian ideal of all these sales was, you know, that's the time to buy school shoes, let me tell you. Oh, that was a bad mistake. So a day in Metrotown Mall, or maybe imagine yourself after the stadium lets out after a Canucks game and you're in this crowd around you. Imagine yourself for a moment in Metrotown Mall with your grandfather. You're under extreme pressure from your work. There's a friendship in your life that you're concerned about. It's grown cold. You're swimming in financial debt. And you're in the midst of planning a wonderful holiday trip that's about to take place. It goes with the debt, you know, in North America. Your grandfather is this wonderful, trusted wealth of wisdom, unconditional love. And as you're waiting for the elevator in Metrotown Mall, you say something like, you know, my job is really a bit of a challenge right now. Oh, is that so? Says grandfather. Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. Well, tell me about it. Ding! The elevator opens up and out you go off to the next door. Imagine having a conversation in that kind of a setting. How much are you going to get from Grandpa? How deep can you go? Will he just wait until you have a quiet time? Will he try to drop a few pointers here and there in the midst of your busyness? But you're dashing from place to place, snatching conversation back and forth until you finally make it to the car. There's a nice quiet place. Let's talk on the way home in between cell phone calls. Back in the house, we greet everyone, we visit, and we go about our day. But you know, actually, most days, it's not your grandfather in Metrotown Mall. It's Jesus. Most days, when you're in the midst of the busyness of this life, your grandfather isn't with you. But someone who you trust and love even more is Jesus. And most of the time, he is dropping words into our thoughts. He's speaking to us throughout the whole day. But sometimes those words don't go very far. They give us a moment of reassurance. They give us a glimpse of direction. We get these fleeting ideas of heaven. For 5 minutes, we think about life after death, eternity, but then go back to this temporary next 20 years. And it vanishes. From time to time, we go through our day and we shout out short pleas for help. Help me, God. Or we moan about our situations and our troubles. Or we have fun. We're entertained. We go to the game. We watch the movie. We have a holiday. We relax by the lake. But in the midst of it all, his words are not bearing fruit. How do we hear God? Maybe you even have the privilege of somebody sending you away to Keats Island to relax. And you get there, and what do? You sit down by the lake on this beautiful sunny day, and your mind just continues to race. What do you do with that? I want to give you something really practical today. I want to give you a scriptural way of handling life among the thorns. There's a process that you can walk through. Whatever your weeds are, there's a few simple steps you can take to meet with God and hear his word, to have him speak to you. How do you, in the midst of all that, begin to hear him speak to you? How do you get it? It does start with, number one, Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom. Somewhere along the line, you do have to make a decision to step out of the shopping mall, go find a quiet park bench and sit down with your grandfather and talk. If you're really going to visit with grandfather, if you're really going to hear his wisdom, if you're really going to get direction about your job or your relationship, somewhere you've got to just say, actually, grandfather's input is more important to me than this shopping trip right now. I've got to set it aside. Somewhere along the lines, you have to make a decision. I must hear God's voice. Lord, I want to know your direction. I've been catching glimpses. You've been answering my prayers. You've been speaking back to me when I ask questions. But it's not bearing fruit in my life. I'm just taking little bits and running with it. It's just a smorgasbord of consumerism. And God's voice is one more thing I consume. Ah, great. I got a quick answer. I opened my Bible to the right page. Oh, that feels good. Write it down. Next, next, next. Somewhere we have to step back. And when we get to the point where we say, I want to step back, God, I want to hear your voice. You're seeking first the kingdom. Even when it means, or shall we say, especially when it means, those responsibilities that are weighing on your mind take second place. If they take first place, it's called idolatry. An idol that is more important to you than God. So when God calls you to come away with him, but all the responsibilities of your daily life or all the troubles or all the concerns are pressing in, you have to say, do I worship God more than this concern? Do I worship God more than this responsibility? And set it aside and come to him. But there you are, sitting by the lake. You've done that. What do? Your mind is still full of it. My mind is full of it preparing this sermon. I was in the middle of preparing this sermon, and here's my little list. I could not shut off my brain. School board things. Men's retreats coming. There's a family celebration, which I'm not supposed to tell you, it's somebody's birthday. You know that now, so I can tell you more. It was my wife's birthday. That's a big pressure for me. There was a maintenance problem with a drain that needs to be unclogged that's thrown in my mind. There was 2 phone calls that morning and 3 emails that needed to be returned. And there's this long to-do list that next time I get a moment free, I want to work on. All of that was racing through my mind as I tried to hear God's voice about this sermon. And I got angry. I mean, I didn't shout at anybody, but in my heart, I was just like so frustrated. Why can't I shut my brain off? I got to think. Come on, God, speak to me. And suddenly, I just started laughing. And I realized that God was giving me exactly the situation that I was preaching about. He was allowing me to have exactly that situation. And I said, okay, Lord, then I'll go through the process that I'm about to speak on. And as I went through this process, all of this evaporated and got set back, and I was able to be in God's presence. What God led me to is Philippians chapter 4. If you just turn to your right, a few books. If you get to Hebrews, you went too far. But you go past Ephesians and Colossians, and you're going to find Philippians. It's only about 3 pages long. Right after Ephesians, right before Colossians. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. And in his closing remarks, he tells them what their thought life ought to be like. And this is the passage that the Lord led me to as I was dwelling on the question of how do I hear God among the thorns? If my life is full of the cares of this world and the pleasures of life, and these things are crowding out God's voice, how can I get out of this mess that I'm in? Who will rescue me? And the Lord led me to this five verses from chapter 4 of Philippians. We'll start in verse 4. Paul gives the church a command. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. How do you disengage from the cares of this world and the pleasures of this world? There's a process here. It's very simple, but don't miss it. It actually works. This is a how-to sermon. This is a step 4 sermon. 4 little steps that you can change your life with. It's too good to be true. But if you've decided to seek first the kingdom, if you've decided, I want to hear God's voice, I want to spend time with Him, and you can't shut off your brain. Oh yeah, here's a little list. Things that go through your brain. Last night's movie. The last 3 hours of your MP3 player. Your responsibilities. Your email. The maintenance on your house. The world news. The latest murder in Vancouver. A person in your life who you're not at peace with. How am I ever going to pay for this? Debt. Finances. The party you have planned tonight. The upcoming ski trip, the vacation. How can you ever concentrate alone with God when you can't even concentrate when you're looking the preacher in the eye like this and your mind is going somewhere else? Hi, Aiden, I'm right here. You ever have that happen? You look at the preacher right in the eye and you think about mowing your grass. Kids don't do that, but we do. Sorry to pick on you. I do that. How much more when I'm with the unseen God and I'm talking to Him? Okay, here's the process. Number 1, from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Now that's enough to make you tune out. What in the world does that mean? Okay, I'll be happy. Look in the mirror, smile, tell yourself it's a happy day today. Remind yourself that December in Vancouver is always sunny. Look at the last week, hey? you're visiting from out of town, it's always like this in December. We've had a whole week of sunshine. What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? Your mind is spinning about all of these thoughts of your present life. How do you rejoice in the Lord? Okay. There's four little things. His ability. You rejoice in His ability. You take pleasure in, you proclaim, you acknowledge His ability, His desire to help you, His authority, His generosity. It goes like this. Oh, I'm so glad that God is able to take care of my responsibility. Lord, I'm so thankful that You have the ability, You have the power to look after everything I need. You see what's happening? Suddenly, I'm setting my faith on what is true. Lord, I thank You that You are eternal, and this thing I'm thinking about is just very temporary. Lord, You are able to reconcile my friend and I. Lord, You are able to provide the finances that we need. Lord, You take pleasure in making the foolish things of this world famous and confounding the wise. When you don't have any ability, when you know it's over your head, Lord, thank You, You've chosen the foolish things of this world. That's the way You always like to work. I feel so foolish right now. Thank You that You want to use me. That gives me more faith. May You be glorified, Lord. May You be made famous. Everyone will know it wasn't me. I can't do this. Lord, You be made famous. And you're rejoicing in the Lord. Father, take captive my thoughts. You have the ability to control my thinking. Would You give me the mind of Christ, as the scripture says? You know all the garbage I fed in from my MP3 player last night? You know all those movies that I shouldn't have been watching? Those scenes are just going through my mind. Lord, please forgive me about that. Would You please take it out of my brain right now? I want to focus on You. And of course, the lies of the enemy come, but You come right back with, Lord, thank You for Your grace. I know I don't deserve this, but You always give us what we don't deserve. You're so generous. You're so gracious. You have paid for my lack in Christ Jesus. You've made up for all my wrong. I know I don't deserve this, Lord. I know I haven't earned this, but then You never give us what we earn. You give us what we don't deserve. Thank You, Lord. That's how you rejoice in the Lord. And you can do that with every single thought that is in your mind that isn't matching up to God's thinking. He says to do this. And then He says it twice. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness, reasonableness, graciousness, peace be evident to all. Display the nature of God in your life. The man who brought me to the Lord, John Peterson, used to say, Dave, Jesus never hurried and He never worried and He never lived in the problem, but always the solution. And John lived that way. He lived in peace and he was a great model to me. Let that kind of a life be displayed to all. So if you start this process with rejoicing in the Lord, notice it does say in the Lord. It doesn't work to just rejoice in the universal power of the universe. It doesn't work to just rejoice in the common consciousness of all mankind. There's only one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's only one who's the creator of the universe. There's only one Jesus who paid for my sin. Only one who has the ability to provide grace because He's paid for judgment. Only Jesus can give me that. So in Jesus, I can rejoice in the Lord. No other place. Only in the Lord. So we start with rejoice in the Lord. And then He says, be anxious about nothing. But I got a whole lot of problems in my life. I got a whole lot of things I am concerned about. What about all these things that I know God has the ability, but they're still there? I know I'm not going to stay in this little prayer time for the rest of my life. I have to go out and face my friend. I have to go back to work and face my boss. What about that? Oh, he answers it. Number two, be anxious about nothing. Pray about it. By prayer and petition. It's the idea that you have a living relationship with your Father. And in that relationship, He wants to hear your list of troubles. Petition is a list. He wants to know every little thing that's troubling your mind right now. It's okay to make a long list and come before God and say, God, all these things are bothering me right now. All these things I'm concerned about right now. And tell Him about it. Ask Him to use His power on your behalf. Ask Him for His wisdom. Pretend you're sitting outside the mall with Grandfather. What would you do? How do you think I ought to handle this? But don't treat it like Grandfather. It's the Almighty God you're talking to. He knows what's best. And whatever He says, it is the answer. Number three, test your thinking with the 8 points of verse 8. Test your thinking with the 8 points of verse 8. Do I have the mind of Christ? Are my thoughts, is my mind fertile ground for God to speak? So we're going back to Jesus saying that some ground doesn't bear fruit because there's so many weeds choking it out. Other ground bears lots of fruit because they hear the word and produce a crop. What is it that will give my mind, the soil of my heart, the ability to bear fruit? And you take these 8 points and you say, is there anything in my thought life that doesn't match up with these things? Because I'm told to think on these things. This is really, really practical. Paul says, finally, brothers, verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. Oh, just stop right there for a moment. What's going through my mind? My responsibility. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? The movie. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it... Lord, would you forgive me? If you don't stop right there, your mind is full of something that will not bear fruit. The music, the magazine, what I've been reading, the books. Lord, is it pure? Is it noble? Whatever it is, you're holding it before the Lord. And you're saying, Lord, measure it against this litmus test. There's 8 little things that I can read and measure if my mind is fertile ground for God to speak into and bear fruit. Now, this isn't a sermon for those who just want to stay as they are. But if you want to hear God's voice, this is for you. If you want God's voice to come in and make a difference, this is for you. But if actually the things on our world list, the pleasures of life, the concerns of life, if those things are God, then serve them. But if God is God, let Him be greater. Let Him be Lord. Let Him measure the things on our list. And He'll measure it with these passages. It's a very, very practical way to measure our thinking against God's word. Lord, the things that I'm concerned about in my city, how do you see it? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? What is praiseworthy? Oh, Lord, I'm so discouraged about my city. Father, would you come and bring righteousness? I love that passage in Ezekiel, where God tells Ezekiel about the judgment that will come on all of those who did not weep over the sins of their city. Those who were not weeping. It wasn't that they had to do anything. It was just God was looking for, did they share His thinking about their community. Whether they could change their situation in Jerusalem or not wasn't the issue. The issue was God was judging people in Jerusalem who it didn't bother them a bit that their city was going to hell in a handbasket. That didn't bother them a bit. But he was lifting up those who shared his concern for their city. And so we do that with world news. When world news comes in and you see all of these things and it saddens you, good. That's the mind of Christ. It's a concern to you. Good. That's the mind of Christ. And so we take all of these things and we measure them about what does God want his world to be like? What does he want our thought life to be like? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? Is Britney Spears really worthy of praise? Was Michael Jackson really worthy of all that? Come on. Right? Is my van really worthy? It's a Honda Odyssey. But it's not a Mustang. You get the point. So we start on this process. And what happens? We get down into verse 8 and we start on this process of testing what's in our mind from last night, last week, this morning, the phone call, the email. And we're holding it before the Lord saying, Lord, how do you see the things in my thought life? And if in that process there's some things that don't measure up and we share God's heart, or there's some things that we don't measure up and we're under conviction, then we ask God's forgiveness. And in that process, our mind and our thinking is getting cleansed and it's getting realigned with his perspective. And we're saying, Lord, I share your heart in this. And now we bring it back to him with rejoicing. You have the ability to fix it. You know all about what needs to happen in the Congo right now. Lord, do it. Make yourself famous. Give strength to those Christians who are following you. Lord, those that are being persecuted, those that are being beaten down, let them perform like Stephen did. Let them be able to hold strong to the end, even if they're in the midst of big, big trouble. And so we're sharing in his ability, his authority. We're rejoicing with him. And then it brings us to step number 4. When our mind is cleansed, when we're in line with what God says, when we're in tune with God, put it into practice. See, number 9, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, says Paul, put into practice and the God of peace will be with you. So twice in this little section, he talks about the peace of God and the God of peace. Verse 7 and verse 9. When we present our request to God, the peace of God is with us. We have in faith left it in his able hands. And the peace of God is with us. When we walk through this process and we think on his thoughts and he shows us things and then we live in it, the peace of God is with us. Verse 9, you live in it. So the process is very simply. You know, if you can't remember this, just remember Philippians 4:4. That's all you have to remember. As long as you own a Bible. Say, Lord, I want to meet with you. What was that sermon all about? Philippians 4:4. I didn't take notes. Lord, please forgive me. Give me the mind of Christ about this. Okay, I'll get a new ballpoint pen. I didn't bring my Bible. Lord, please forgive me. Help me to honor your word. Okay, enough of that. Philippians 4:4. And you go back to what's the beginning? I rejoice in God. His ability, his authority, his power, and his grace towards me. He wants to help. He's on my side. He generously gives me what I don't deserve. Always. That's who God is. We pray instead of having anxiety. Not anxiousness, but we petition God. We test our thinking against the 8 points of verse 8. And we ask, is my mind fertile soil for him to speak into? He'll keep on speaking. You can run through the shopping mall and he'll drop ideas in your brain. But it won't bear fruit unless your mind is fertile. And then we put into practice those things that he shows us. May God help all of us to hear his voice. God bless you.